Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around today. It's good to have you here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbspa.com, and you know what I call it. It's entrepreneurial nirvana. It's small business heaven. It's a place where you can go and find a couple of thousand archives of shows that we've done in the past with our hundreds of Brain Trust members, and you can go back and listen to them over and over again to your little heart's content. If you just can't get enough of my voice, that's the place to go. You can also hear this show, today's show, in a 24-hour replay, and you can also hear the show live on the internet if you're where you can't get it on the radio, or if you hear it on the radio and you want to go back and listen to a website or get a book again or hear something that was said over and over again, you can do that on our website. Don't forget that. Don't forget all the other things, like subscribing to my free newsletter. That's there something you can do there too. Peter Meyer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Peter is one of the guys that helps us put our best foot forward in the marketplace, and he's a principal of the Meyer Group, which is a consulting firm that helps companies create and dominate new markets, which is something that I really like encouraging small business owners to think about. Believe it or not, Peter and I agree on this, and he's an expert in this area. You can not only create new markets for your small business, you can dominate them. And he actually wrote a book about it called Creating and Dominating New Markets. He's our good friend, Peter Meyer. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back, Peter, as always. You wanted to talk about some new technology that's being used today, didn't you?
Well, actually, you know, this is technology that's not being used, but it's a big issue for small companies because a lot of large companies are requesting and sometimes demanding that people use this technology.
Hmm.
It's called RFID or radio frequency identification.
RFID, and this is to be part of like with labeling and packaging, like barcoding?
Well, it comes from the same people who created barcodes, the same standards group, and it's meant to replace barcode. But instead of being a code on a package, this actually is a chip built into the package which emanates
mm-hmm.
a symbol, which is like a barcode symbol, unique to that individual package.
Is this a precursor to nanotechnology? Is this a little bit of kind of like nanotechnology?
You could use nanotechnology to make this work, but it's pretty independent of it.
I see. All right.
Two different things.
Tell us how it works.
The way it would work is very simple in concept. When you have this device with a chip in it, let's say it's a shaver on a shelf, and it's got a chip in the carton, and the chip only costs a penny. And when you walk out of the store with that device in your shopping bag, the store doorway registers that you've left with it, charges your credit card for it, and you don't have to go through a checkout.
Yeah, we've been, you know, I think you may have mentioned this years ago, but I know somebody on this show talked about that you just walk into the grocery store and load up your basket and just walk out the door with it. You give them your credit card or they know how to bill draw from your checking account or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you just walk out the door and it rings it up.
That's right.
The whole basket all at once.
The whole basket all at once. It also does inventory control, of course, and it does as well as controlling shrinkage issues.
Right, right. Yeah, in case somebody walks out that hasn't left their financial information with the store.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you're doing a large quantity of industrial products, let's say you run a warehouse, you run the entire pallet past the doorway, and the doorway then registers the entire pallet as to what's in it and perhaps
mm-hmm.
where it's going,
mm-hmm.
thereby reducing the amount of work you have to do to get something out the door and into your customer's hands.
Right. Think of the time that this will save. But now it's called radio frequency. So the chip actually, the radio signals are out there looking for these chips to cross a certain point, right?
They're right. At this point, the chip is emanating a signal, and the receiving device in a doorway or wherever automatically picks it up when the chip goes through.
So when it comes into the warehouse, it gets picked up and added to inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And added to the financial programs, And then when it leaves, when it crosses the, that point or another point to leave, it gets subtracted and accredited.
That's right.
Yeah, very interesting. Now why? What application or what impact does this have on small business?
There's a number of important impacts. One of which is that Walmart and the Department of Defense are running trials in which they have asked their top vendors, which includes some small businesses,
right,
to please provide this chip with everything they send. As well, if you look at who's making these chips, there's a couple of large companies, Philips involved, but most of the people making these chips are small companies, and they're gambling that this is the right market to be in.
Stand by, so Peter. Hold on to that thought, folks. Hold on to that thought, Peter. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about what would happen if you got a call from one of your customers and said, you need to look into this. We're going to start acquiring this. And what would it take? What are the different steps you'd have to take? 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back with Peter Meyer. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking with our good friend Peter Meyer, the author of Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating New Markets. Peter, give us your website, please.
Well, the easiest way to get to it is warpspeedgrowth.com.
Warpspeedgrowth.com, and that's where we can find your books, too, can't we?
And articles as well. You can, of course, love you to buy the book either from a local bookstore or the website, but if all you want is an article, just pop over and take a look at a chapter or an article and download it for free.
Yeah, well, Peter's got some wonderful stuff there. I certainly recommend it to you folks. And as you know, you can find out about Peter all over our website as well. We've got the archives of many past shows that we've done there, and Peter's contributed a number of articles. So if you're on our website, you know, you can find him there. And then you can also link to him from our website. We've got plenty of those too. Peter, you know, as you're talking about this RFID, radio frequency identification, And that Walmart and the Defense Department are starting to recommend or starting to encourage people, customers, or their vendors, I should say, to look into these, into providing RFID in their packaging. I couldn't help but think of back in 1999 when small business owners start getting letters from big companies saying, we're Y2K compliant. We want to make sure you are. If you're going to be a vendor for us, you have to demonstrate that you're Y2K compliant or we're not going to do any more business with you. And also, you know, and so that was a little bit of a wake-up call for some of us. And mm-hmm. So then I remember about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, the automobile manufacturers started telling their suppliers, within 2 years, we're going to be doing 40% of our purchases online, so you better get ready.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another wake-up call. Recently, we've had power outages, significant. We had the big blackout last summer in the Northeast.
Yeah. And I'm familiar with power outages here in California.
Yeah, I bet you are. And so I believe that people are going to start getting letters from their big customers saying, you know, we rely on you to serve our customers, so we want you to demonstrate how you are prepared for the next outage. My point is, you know, this could be another letter we're going to be getting from our big customers to say we want you to start being RFID qualified,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or capable. What do you think?
I think that the power question is a very valid one, and I would expect us to get that letter eventually, especially here in California where we have an increasingly fragile power grid. And I think you're raising an interesting question. Is if you're a small vendor and you have a limited amount of resources, which describes large companies too, but you're a small company, limited amount of resources, and a customer writes you a note saying, we want you to invest in something that has no revenue attached to it, mm-hmm. just so you can stay here at the poker table with us.
Right.
Need to increase your stake.
Right.
What do you do? And RFID really is exactly that question, because the cost of implementing RFID for the vendors and the suppliers, as well as the customers, is extremely high. The actual chip, a nickel or a penny a piece, who cares? The cost of infrastructure, that's mm-hmm. what makes it a very expensive proposition.
But if you're a small supplier, you know, what we were just talking about is what you could call a threat. But now let's think about it, Peter, from an opportunity standpoint. What if I'm a small supplier and I've heard the wisdom of Peter Meyer on this topic, And the next time I order my packaging, I just go ahead and put and have the chip installed. I talk to my packaging company and say, go ahead and start putting chips in all of our packaging. And then the next time we have not even tell the customer maybe. You know, maybe the customer doesn't have to know right now. Maybe some customers wouldn't use that capability. But the next time we're proposing a new contract, you know, all we've got to do is very quietly put in our contract. And by the way, we have been RFID qualified for a year now. Yeah. And maybe nobody else who's bidding, no other small vendor bidding has even heard of it. And you're already there. What will that do to your competitive advantage?
Well, there's an interesting question. If, in fact, the RFID solves a real problem, it escalates it immensely. If RFID does not solve a real problem, you have invested a lot of time and trouble and some money
right
into the whole thing for no good.
So you need to determine if, in fact, as you know, some industries are more advanced in terms of seeking new technologies than other industries aren't they? They're more aggressive in that way.
There are many industries that want new technology, but they don't always want it to solve a problem. And that is really the line of demarcation on this whole discussion, isn't it? If we're solving a problem, we should invest. If we have a solution looking for a problem, I say hold off investing.
That's one of the things. If there's anything that we've learned from you over the years, Peter, it's that, in fact, I quoted you to somebody the other day. In fact, it was yesterday at lunch. Somebody was talking about a project, and I said, well, as my friend Peter Meyer would say, is this a problem looking for a solution or a solution looking for a problem?
I think you're right to think that way. There's only two things you would have learned from me over these years. One is that it's always dark when you call me, and the other is that you should always look for the problem first and then the solution.
Yeah, well, we've learned that well from you. So I hear you, but I wouldn't recommend that people do this just tomorrow to start doing it. But we should look at what's the likelihood of having to do this in the future, and at least know who to call if that should pop up. I mean, not have to start doing the due diligence the first time you hear that you're going to need to have this capability.
So let's talk for a second about what you would want if you wanted to take the best advantage of this at the lowest cost.
All right. I'm going to ask you to ask that question right after these messages. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Peter Meyer. He always makes us think. Don't forget, his book is called Creating and Dominating New Markets and Warp Speed Growth. Both of them are outstanding. Stay with us. 10 till. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Jeffrey Dobkin, Hamilton Beasley, Joyce Weiss, and Wayne Cruz. And I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. I think I mentioned that it's 7 till. Peter Meyer is our guest, and he's the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets, which is one book that's one of my favorites, as well as the other one that he's written called Warp Speed Growth. Peter, I interrupted you as we went to the break. Why don't you pick back up where you were?
I think that the key thing to remember, if a customer comes to you, a big customer does a lot of business with you, and says, I want you to go invest a bunch of money with no revenue just so you can stay in the game with me, is to take a look at what the problem is. And one way to do that is to go look at analysis and look at the market and go look at the other vendors. But I think the better way to do that is to go back to your customer, other people inside the customer, and say, how real is this problem that we're trying to solve? What problem are we trying to solve? Then go to other customers. Now, if you went back to Walmart, what you discover is that the staff guys at Walmart really want this technology. Mm-hmm. The guys who run the operations don't seem to care.
The radio frequency ID, they want the staff guys want it, but the operations guys don't.
Right, and if you're selling to Walmart and you want to go talk to Kmart and you want to go talk to your other customers who buy in quantity and large pallets, and you ask them, and what you'll find is they're all saying, we're not sure there's a problem here. We're not sure it's worth any time and trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that leads you with an interesting problem. If Walmart is your large customer, and they're asking you to jump through a $100,000 hoop, and nobody else cares about it, do you want to stick with Walmart as your large customer?
Mm-hmm.
That's the right decision to be working through. Not is this a new technology you need to have, but is this a business decision, a commercial decision you want to make?
But what's wrong, Peter, if you've determined that, let's just use RFID as an example, you've determined that this is really innovative and efficiency providing technology that the other customers are benefiting from. You know, what's wrong with going to customers who aren't as savvy, aren't as cutting edge maybe, and educating them, and you be the one to tell them, you show them how they can actually improve the relationship that you have with them and maybe even find some efficiencies yourself. What's wrong with reaching out to your customers in that way?
Nothing, but there's no reason to invest in the technology until you've had those conversations.
Right. I take your point. That's exactly right, I agree with that. But isn't that one of the ways, though, that to create and dominate a new market is to provide those kinds of value added that kind of value added support for your customers?
And the value add is, as you know, is not in the product, but the conversation.
Right.
Causes customers to say, hey, I could do business a new way. And Jim told me that, and that is so cool. I will work Jim because he thinks that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The conversation, that's the value, not the product.
Well, and that's such an important point, Peter, because, you know, if you go to them, don't go to them and say, I found a new technology, and I know that this is great, and this is what you need, because that's going to turn them off. You would go to them and say, what would you do if we had this capability?
Do you have this problem? Do you want this problem solved?
Yeah.
That's where I always want to start. Do you have this mm-hmm. problem? Do you want this problem solved? Well, you don't. Well, then, I'm not going to try and what problem do you have you want solved?
And also, before you go any further, you'd want to say, what would it mean if you could solve that problem? What kind of value would that have?
What's it worth to you, to your business, over a long term?
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Well, those are the kinds of conversations, and I'm glad you used that word, Peter. Those are the kinds of conversations that if you can have those with your customers, believe it or not, folks, and Peter, I know you know this, and I believe this because I've seen it happen before. Customers, when they're, you know, having their difficulties, they're struggling to with any situation, they like the fact of knowing that they've got a vendor or somebody out there who's also thinking about them, don't they?
Mm-hmm. And there's an advantage that the small business absolutely has that a large company cannot take advantage of.
Right.
And that is the advantage to have that conversation. Philips Electronics cannot have that conversation with their customers, but you and I can take the time to do that because we're people talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Something to think about, folks. These are little examples of how small business owners can, as Peter says in his book, create and dominate new markets. Peter, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure. It's always great to hear your wisdom.
It's my pleasure to be here, and it's dawn here now, so I think that I'll wrap.
Thanks, Peter. We'll see you later, buddy. Take care. Peter Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Don't forget to check out his books, Creating and Dominating New Markets and Warp Speed Growth. I think you'll learn a lot from them. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.